Hello, welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast, where we talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall. I only run Evolve. We're a technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally, helping people get more out of Pipedrive through implementation, consultancy, training and aftercare. We've recently launched our Evolve Sales OS. It's a small list of curated apps designed to help you sell more effectively. With a free masterclass with over 4 hours worth of content from experts at Pipedrive, Surf, JustScore and Outplay, you can find the link in the description below. Today though, I have the pleasure of being joined by Anton Weihard, the Chief Product Officer and co-founder at Goeva. Now, Goeva is a sales intelligence tool that tells you which company to talk to, whom to talk to, and what to talk about. Now, I'm really looking forward to this conversation with Anton for a couple of reasons. One, because Anton and the team are building a tool that is both prospecting and insights. And I'm really keen to uncover some of the insights that they're seeing and predicting for 2024. Secondly, because Anton has a background in sales, customer support, I think it's fascinating that he's moved into product. And I'd like to see how that is shaping how he's getting feedback on the product and the product roadmap for the year ahead. So without further ado, Anton, can you please introduce yourself, go over to our audience and sharing some of the business problems that you're solving?
Of course. Thank you, Bruce, for that fantastic intro. Could have said it better myself. yes, my name is Anton, and native Swede, living in the countryside outside of Stockholm. I've been working in sales and digital customer experience here in the Nordics for the last 11 years, and for about 6 or 7 of those at Goeva. And as you mentioned, I started out doing sales because, I mean, we didn't really have any customers. There was not much else to do. And as we grew and reached sort of the critical mass of customers needed to start implementing a customer success department, I headed up that and grew that team. And then after doing that for about 3 years, I moved into a product role. I'm sure we can talk more about that later. So Goeva is, it's a sales intelligence company. And our roots actually date back to 2010, when our founder and CEO, Jonas Ene, he was running a media monitoring company for PR professionals. And the insight that sort of sparked the thought about Goeva was that, these communication professionals, they had tools for staying up to date about what was happening in the media landscape, about their brand and other topics that they found interesting. But for B2B salespeople, I mean, there was nothing. They were in the dark. And keep in mind, this was 2010, very little data available. So then the seed was sort of planted and an idea started to grow for a platform that helped B2B salespeople know more about their customers, find new prospects, help them to answer the three questions, what companies to target, who to talk to, and what to talk about. So in 2011, he founded the predecessor to Goeva, and this was very early in the game for sales intelligence solutions. So he was sort of building the foundation for Goeva for about 5 years on his own with the help of two developers. And then in 2016, he met Henrik Strittberg, who is a seasoned startup entrepreneur. And he came in as an investor and CEO. And together they put together a team of co-founders, including myself and two others. And today we help B2B companies discover insights about their customers and prospects, find their best fit prospects using AI recommendations, enrich their CRM. So basically our business is to gather information about companies, package it, everything together in a simple to use platform that is also accessible without ever having to leave your CRM. And at the end of the day, our customers spend much less time on prospecting, research, data entry in the CRM, and they target the right customers at the right time as a result. So that's a little bit of an intro for you.
That's a brilliant intro. I didn't know that the timeline pre 2016. So that was good to hear that.
Very few people do. This might be the first sort of public talk about that.
Yeah, and I do my research, but I didn't see that. So, what in terms of markets covered then? So, where do you guys focus? I know on one of your platform pieces that we'll talk about, there is a specific focus, but in terms of where you guys target and going to market there, where's that?
So we are, we're a Nordic company. So that includes Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Finland. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, our full focus is on the Nordic markets. And we have the biggest market in Sweden, then followed closely by Norway and Finland, and then Denmark. So we've been sort of Nordic focused for the past couple of years, who knows if we'll stop there. But for now, that's our primary market.
Yeah, it's a really healthy market to be in, right? So they're kind of they're not tech agnostic, that they want to lean into new tech, and it's a really interesting space. And what you said in your intro about having the data in your CRM, every day I speak to someone that says, how do we get the latest data into our CRM? Like every day, data enrichment comes up. So I know from obviously listeners of this, it's probably a problem that they've felt themselves, or someone in their team has told them, oh, just go to LinkedIn and copy and paste this and put it back into the put it back into the CRM. But if you can have that live data or enriched data from a prospect standpoint, that's huge. So from a customer standpoint, who is your ideal customer out there, right? So is it a sales director that's fed up with hearing sales reps say, I don't have good data? Or is it the sales manager that wants more from his team? Or is it the business owner? And what size is that business?
Yeah, so since we basically have two products for the Pipedrive marketplace, we have the Enrich app and then we have the Discover app. So, and they have slightly different audiences. So if we talk about the Enrich app first, it has very sort of broad audience. I mean, anyone who has ever thought, oh, I wish I had more data in Pipedrive. I mean, that's the target. So, but if we look at, what companies are actually, working to solve these issues, it tend to be on the, maybe not necessarily like small companies. It's more sort of medium to large companies that are willing to, spend money to solve this problem. Everyone else will just work around it and ignore it until it becomes a real pain in the ass. We see mainly companies that are sort of digitally mature that understand the value of being data driven. So that leads us to industries like IT, software, recruitment, media sales. But that being said, it works for any industry for data enrichment. And if we look at Discover, which is more of a prospecting platform and research platform, then we have one major sort of difference in audiences is that it specifically targets companies with outbound sales activities, and not all companies have that. If you have a pretty small target audience, if you have a niche market, then you probably already know the 100 or 500 companies that could potentially buy your product. So that's not really for us either. So it's companies that have sort of larger target audiences. And typically, the value of Guava increases if you have a sales team of at least three sales reps. For Discover, we typically talk to sales directors, sales managers that are sort of fed up with the fact that the sales team are complaining about maybe, bad fit prospects coming in from marketing. What can we do with this? I don't have time to prospect because, I'm trying to close this deal over here. It takes too much time. So anyone looking to, you know, make their team more efficient, remove any potential obstacles that they have when it comes to, you know, initiating new opportunities, that's a really good fit for Guava. And if they have a larger target audience and have sort of, you know, frequent prospecting needs, that's a great fit for Guava.
So with that being said, and obviously I mentioned the front end, really interested to hear what you say about this, but from your sales experience and obviously now in leading the product side, what does the rise in AI bring to not just expectations in the marketplace, but to how you want to be pushing your product, right? So I've seen a demo, and you actually do of the platform. We'll have a link in the description for you to have a look at that as well, and or try either of them out. There are some very specific human elements that you wanted some of it to be manual. So like the rating system, right? We spoke offline about it being like a dating app, because then you get emotionally not involved with the prospect, but like you are that. But that was a very human. It feels very human, right? Versus just this is what the robot recommends for you. So what is my question here? My question here is, has being a salesperson led to any design decisions in product? And what's AI going to, do you feel expectations from the kind of your would-be customers or prospects, are they asking anything, we want this in our app now, because then they're just hearing about all these fun things?
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question regarding sort of, you know, product decisions that have been led by, I mean, I'd like to hope and think that most of our product decisions are based on what salespeople think and do. But some of the things that comes from sort of our own experience is that, you know, if you get a list of companies assigned to you in the CRM, or if you get an Excel file or whatever, you know, your sales manager is nice enough to gather a list of 200 companies and say, you know, good luck, have fun with this. And I mean, you're just looking at company names. Maybe you have like an industry tied to it or something. But when you haven't sort of picked it out yourself, you don't feel ownership for it. You don't feel ownership for those 200 companies that your sales manager has assigned to you. And I think it's a human element, that the human touch of, you know, sort of handpicking. I mean, our platform, you know, curates the content for you. So you only get recommendations on good fit prospect, but you handpick the ones that you feel like, oh, this is perfect for me. This might be for someone else, I'll ignore this. And so when you then go into your CRM, I mean, you already know a little bit about the company because you've seen a dashboard sort of compiling the most important information about it. So you'll recognize it and you'll feel like, oh yeah, that's mine, I know that one. Because a lot of companies, I mean, you could ask any company, and let's say they have 1,000 companies in Pipedrive, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe as much as 20 or 30% of those companies have zero activities connected to them. And they've never even been touched. And they might be great prospects, you know, they might be the best ones, but they get stuck down there at the bottom of the order. And it's because no one has sort of picked them. They just ended up there
or it takes a little bit. If it's a new entrance to a market, they might be a great prospect, but it does take some time to be like, okay, what is my message to this business? How, if I haven't looked at the trend lines, okay, they're hiring for new SDRs, they just hired a new CMO, whatever those indicators might be. If you're not looking, if you don't have quick access to that data, you're just not going to, as a salesperson, you have to be selective with your time, because if wherever you put your energy is, you know, that's a, there's effort there, right? So,
yeah. And I think, I mean, there's a bit of, I think there's basically two trends, sort of at the same time when it comes to sales? I mean, one is that you want to do everything on, like, you know, on scale. So customers will ask, well, you know, what would you like? Yeah, I would love to have, you know, a sales tool that does everything automatically, reaches out to, you know, my entire audience and books meetings automatically for me. So what you end up with then is, I mean, and people are not stupid. I recognize an AI email or, you know, a sort of blast email campaign when I see one, and I'm not going to respond ever. So you have, that's sort of the one trend. And the other, which can also be fueled by AI, is sort of the hyper-personalization trend. So since people like myself are tired of getting, you know, really generic sales approaches, and it could be either, you know, as a call or as an email, you need to personalize. And it's hard to do that at scale, at least right now. I mean, maybe in, you know, a year or two, it might be different. But right now, we see a lot of people having difficulties sort of breaking through. I mean, you know, if you manage to get a prospect on the phone, you have, you know, 30 seconds maybe to pitch your idea. And nothing's really changed there. But if you can't prove that, you know, you're calling for a reason, and the reason is not because I have something great to sell, it's because you, like, I know your business, and you know, your business or your industry typically has a problem, and we're helping other companies solve it.
Yeah, I think it's the sales journey is for a long time it's been designed by the sales manager, so it might be, or the sales director, or the business owner. You would have the sales story, the script. This is how we want it to go. This is the journey we want to take you on. But then the buyer has their own journey now, right? Because we don't want to hear these blanket. To your point, everyone knows when they've received an AI email. It might have a custom first line, and that can work. And it just gets me thinking about data and what is data in 2024 and beyond, right? So you have intent data. How important is that? What are the right indicators for your product and or service offering to then go to market? For the longest time, you could get away with being quite lazy with having, it's bad practice. You would have 10,000 people on an email list. The marketing team are like, great. Salespeople are like, how the hell are we going to call 10,000 people? Like, none of these, it's just a waste of everyone's time. But now, if you can give that salesperson, okay, here's a list of 200 people that we know fit your ICP, or it might even be 60 people that fit your ICP. We know there's a product market fit. We know they're hiring. We know that they're expanding into the US. Go get them. Like, that's a much better hyper-personalization approach versus having a list of 10,000 people.
And let's not forget, I mean, in your example here, which is a great one, I think, you know, how much sales needs to be fun as well. You know, so much more fun if you get a list of, let's say, you know, bite size. Here's 10 people or, you know, 60 or whatever, you know, and you start with that. Here's 10 people that are, you know, most likely needs of our service right now. Go get them. So much more fun as a sales rep as well, because being in sales can be quite tiresome if you have that list of, you know, 10,000 prospects that you want to call. So having fewer with better quality, where you can actually, you know, engage with each and every one of them. I mean, that will be a much more pleasurable working experience as well for the sales rep.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what's on the roadmap for you guys? What's the obviously you've got the two apps. Is it team expansion? Is it area expansion in terms of where you'd like to cover?
So, I mean, we have a super clear goal now. I would assume this resonates with a lot of companies out there, at least companies that have been fueled by VC funding like ours. You know, we have a super clear target now of break even. Last year, like in many other companies, we had to downsize a bit. So we went from about 52 employees to 26 today. But we have such a strong team in place now. We feel confident that 2024 is going to be our best growth year ever. That sort of guides us as well on sort of things that we want to do. So in terms of the roadmap, we're not really looking to grow the team as of now. But we're putting a lot of focus into the product. And we are leaning in quite heavily to the CRM enrichment side of things. So the CRM, the Guava Enrich app we have for Pipedrive is expanding with the premium version, which will enable, you know, CRM managers or sales managers or business owners to basically map whatever data point they want from Guava into their CRM and enrich it for all their companies. So that's going to be something big that's coming maybe by the end of Q1 or early Q2. And then sort of on a sort of larger scale, I mean, we are also leaning into increasing our use of AI. And the way we, our strategy when it comes to using AI is, if it doesn't make it easier to, you know, consume information or understand something about a company very quickly, we're not going to do it. At the end of the day, it's about sort of, you know, the pretty simple things like summarizing, like collecting the data points from Guava. And, you know, if you're looking at a prospect, what is it that you want to know? Basically, you want to know, is this a good fit for me or not? So we're working on some really exciting things in that area.
Well, I hope that kind of leads into the next point. How do the two systems integrate, right? So you've got the two native apps that are on the marketplace. Does it push bi-directionally? So if you updated in Pipedrive, would it update the Guava platform itself? Can you push data from Guava back into Pipedrive? What's that integration like?
Yeah, so it's a two-way two-way in a direction integration. So we both read data from Pipedrive and we write data to it. And if we look at the data that we read from Pipedrive, we do this for mainly two reasons. So one is to sync your pipeline from Pipedrive into Guava. And this enables you to do a few things with the Guava platform. One, it allows you to automatically monitor all the companies that you are an owner of in Pipedrive, so that you get, you know, personalized news feeds in your mobile phone, push notifications when there's news to read. For example, if you know if they're expanding to a new market or recruiting salespeople, you'll get push notifications directly to your phone. And the other thing with the benefit you get from reading data from Pipedrive is that we can identify your ICP. So when we read the Pipedrive data, we see who your current customers are, who you've got open opportunities with right now. We can see sort of the average deal value in different segments. And this enables us to make great recommendations on which company will be your next customer. And also enabling analytics, so you can drill down into different segments of your market or industries or company size, and you know really see where do I have, you know, maybe the shortest sales cycle and or you know the highest deal value. So that's sort of what we read from Pipedrive, and in what we write to Pipedrive, pretty simple stuff. I mean, we enrich company data. And we also
and it's fast. Like I've seen this live. This is a fast push. Like when you create it's not like a wait 10 seconds. It was near instant.
Yeah, I think it's like if you click export in Guava, the company in Pipedrive is created like within a second. So it's super fast. And that's actually enabled by, that's not true for all CRM integrations, but the Pipedrive APIs are, I think, super, super efficient, really nice to work with. I think the other thing, so we write data, company data, we also create people. So if you find people data in Guava that you want to export, you can also do that. And if you find news content or recruitment postings, you can export that into Pipedrive as notes. So that's what we right to PipeDrive.
Yeah, it's really slick from a workflow standpoint. I just want to touch upon something you said there about the push notifications, because I don't want that to get lost, right? So that's push notifications to the mobile app, right? So Guava has a mobile app, and in that app, so we spoke about this again offline, the why to have a mobile app and what's the use of it. So can you just go into a little more detail there? I think it's two things. One, tell me what you said before, but then also tell me a little bit more about how PipeDrive data can still go into the app as well. And just
I mean, when it comes to mobile interface versus desktop, I think it's quite interesting that, you know, in terms of, people spend so much time on their phone, and I think, you know, a large portion of email usage is on the phone. If you're on a platform like Teams or Slack, I at least 50% of my usage on Slack is from my phone. But when it comes to CRM usage, I think it's much lower on mobile. So you have to start looking at, you know, what's a good use case for mobile? What do people like to do on mobile? And the reason Slack, for example, works, people love to, you know, chat over their phone. Slack and Teams work great for that reason. Another thing that people do on their phone is that they catch up on news. So most people don't, you know, start their day by, you know, opening up a fresh tab in their browser and, you know, going into the Daily Telegraph, for example. They'll do that on the phone. So for that reason, we have a mobile app with a curated news feed. So like I said before, we read and sync your pipeline from PipeDrive into Guava, and this enables us to present a personalized news feed about the companies that you're currently working in PipeDrive. So you can, you know, you can curate the news feed saying, you know, what type of news you're interested in. So I'm interested in, you know, business related news, or, you know, expansions, product launches, or this type of recruitment, and you'll get personalized feeds and push notifications whenever there's something new to read, matches your criteria on these companies.
I love it. So yeah, thank you for that. I don't want to skip that, because I think that's super, super important, and a clear decision why you've stayed with it and are staying with it, because I think it's a really nice use case. Yeah. Not trying to replicate the desktop experience, but designing it based on how people use the mobile.
Exactly. And as we talked about offline as well, I mean, in the app, because it was so tempting, no one was asking for it. But we made the comparison earlier with sort of a dating app. You know, we give recommendations, you give thumbs up or thumbs down. And so we felt like we need to bring this experience to mobile as well. So then you actually get, you know, the same type of company dashboards with almost the same information as on desktop. And you swipe right, swipe left, because we had to do it. It was so close. We had to do the Tinder experience for companies. Yeah.
My I don't know what the Tinder experience is. My wife might be listening. So I don't know what that is. I've heard it's left or right. Thank you for that. So just as we come to close here, I've got a couple of questions, and it's kind of been informed with what you said at the very beginning, right? So I didn't know about this when the equity team came in 2016, and then obviously you then became a part of the board and as co-founders when it really took on. What was that story? Did you know anyone before that? What was that team? Is it the same team from 2016 as you got now? Just tell me a little bit more about that story and what's happening next.
So basically, the board director at the time knew a friend of mine, and I was working in another startup at the time, which I was also part of the founding team there, and I'd been there for about 4 years, and I was sort of looking for a new opportunity, and I was talking with him on the phone every day, sort of encouraging him to, you know, go into this startup journey. I think it sounds super exciting, and if you like the team, I mean that would be the most important thing. If you believe in the team, then you should definitely do it. And so he decided to jump on board, and as soon as he had said yes to their pitch to join their startup, he said, "My first order of business is to bring on Anton as well."
Yeah.
So then sort of I came on, just a few weeks after him, after meeting the team, and I felt the same thing he did, that it was a really strong team together. So it covered sort of everything that we needed. It was a pretty diverse team in terms of the skill sets. So we felt like we had a really strong foundation. And my friend since then has left the company to pursue other opportunities. But everyone else is still on board. It's been a really valuable from a learning experience, and also we've had so much fun over the last 6 years, and now we're in a great market position. So I think that this year and the next is going to be the best ones of our career so far.
I love it. And whoever's doing your Instagram makes it feel like a real fun place to be as well. So it's I think it's Life at Guavo. Or I can't remember exactly what the handle was, but it does feel like a team on the rise. So, yeah, so it's they're certainly capturing that. So that's great. So I got a couple of quick fire questions just as we do look to wrap up. So what's in your tech stack? And why?
If you're talking about the sales tech stack.
Think sales tech stack, yeah.
Yeah. So we are actually not using Pipedrive for our sales team. We have used
Pipedrive. Other CRMs are available.
We're using HubSpot for our sales and marketing team. Along with that, obviously we rely a lot on email. So we have a Gmail, like the Google Suite. We use Slack, and then we use a video recording tool called VAM, which enables our sales team to basically easily do screen recordings and send it as like personalized video messages and screen shares, we also use another sort of similar interactive demo tool called Arcade, which is great for any sort of software business. It allows you to create very beautiful, easy to interact with demos.
And that's called Arcade. Arcade, yep.
Let's see what else. Guava, obviously. So we use Guava Discover for our prospecting and Guava Enrich for enriching our CRM.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty much it.
You got Slack as well. So are you using Slack in a certain way to in the sales process, or is it more internal comms?
Slack is sort of at the heart of most things we do. We try to be like very transparent as a company so that everyone can get eyes on everything. So in terms of the sales process, we have, whenever we get inbound leads, we have that in an open channel. And as soon as someone books a meeting, we have that's posted as a message in another open channel. And if we win a deal, then that's posted in the general channel with for everyone. So we also want to sort of create, we are at the heart, we're a sales company. We want to create sort of this, as a salesperson, that, when you close a deal, that's a great moment. That's why you're in this. So we want sort of everyone to be involved, from engineers to finance and, all roles to be involved in, celebrating each one deal and welcoming new customers.
Yeah, I think it's really important, as a scaling team, right? And you want to feel like you're all in it together. So that's great there. And Where did the name Guava come from?
One of the first thing I did when we when I came on board with Guava, I put together a naming workshop, which may or may not have included beers and whiskey.
Nice.
We started out, you know, describing the company as an animal, a color, you know, a dish of food, and just put a lot of stuff on the on a whiteboard. And by the end, we had something that was similar to like avalanche, and we had an action word to it. It was Go Avalanche.
Okay.
And then we landed in Guava. It made no sense, but it was a short name. The .com domain was available.
Nice.
We were in business.
There we are. I love it. I love those stories, just like where those come about. And in my head, it sounded, I thought it was a riff on Ace Ventura.
I would have loved
that. I can't remember.
I would have loved it. We were all huge Ace Ventura fans. So that's where it came from.
Yeah. A favorite use case that you've seen people use, a story that you've heard from the sales team, people using Guava.
So, I'm not going to bring up the most common use case here because there's a less common use case, but I think it's so strong and, it comes from, you know, the RevOps team together with the CRM manager, and basically they were doing, and this was for a pretty big, a large company, you know, with around 1,000 employees, and they were doing a lot of work bringing on, you know, really expensive consultants to do, basically try and figure out what their ICP was. Which can be, I mean, it's not easy. So we worked together with them using our analytics interface, which we haven't really talked about that today, but that's fine. It just uncovered all the data that they had in their CRM and, you know, in a structured way so they could see, you know, how many companies in, you know, how many customers they had in each industry in different sizes, how fast, like how quickly it went to close deals. And it informed their decision in sort of creating their ICP using the Guava data in combination with their CRM data. And, you know, I'm sure it saved them, you know, a couple of hundred thousand euros in consultancy fees alone. So I think that's like one of my favorite use cases because I'm in love with everything data driven. So using data to, you know, inform your decisions on what to target is one of my favorite use cases for Guava.
But it's huge, and it's unlocking the data, the insights that's in the data that already exists in the business.
Yeah,
I think that's what's really quite powerful about that. So top tips for people getting started using Guava and for seasoned pros. So the seasoned pros might be the talk to the RevOps team that, you know, get more from your existing data. But what about people just getting started?
For people just getting started, one of the key things that we always strive for is to make like the time to value super short. For anyone starting out, you know, connected to your CRM, that would be number one. It will make everything else so much easier. And once you've done that, just start prospecting. I mean, believe in the power of the recommendations. Don't worry about, you know, figuring out the right filters, creating new segments. Guava will take care of that for you. So it will automatically create the segment with the sort of best target criteria. So I would say, like, just get started prospecting. So in your first day, make sure, you know, you qualify and add, 10 to 15 new companies and start, engaging with them the next day. So I'd say just, you know, get going with the prospecting would be sort of for someone who's brand new to it. For the more seasoned pros, then you should really lean into analytics. So, I mean, you've used Guava for, you know, some time. So you've gathered a lot of data in your CRM as well as in Guava. Now is a great time to really look into the success rate that you've had in different segments, different industries, and, you know, using that data to create new segments and really target the most efficient segments, because you can spend so much time, you know, chasing the wrong segment, the wrong type of companies. And if you lean into analytics and using the data, you can avoid that and make that a thing of the past.
Love it. Do you have any Pipedrive feature requests? You said that you like the API. Is there anything either in the API or anywhere else that you'd like to see?
So, I mean, coming from the sales intelligence side of things, I think it's shocking that as a new Pipedrive user, the only company data fields that are there per default is the company name and the address. And if there's anything I know is that, you know, people, I mean, unless you bring on an expert like Pipedrive consultant like we evolve, so I mean, then you'll go with the standard configuration. So you'll end up with hundreds of thousands of companies with only the company name, because you're not encouraged to enter, you know, even a website URL. So my feature request would be super simple. In the default setup, have some more data fields, because any CRM user would be interested in having the URL or the maybe the number of employees along with an industry field. So that would be my feature request for Pipedrive to have these fields as default, because it will help their customers improve the data quality.
Yeah. Love it. There is a smart data enrich piece, and it pulls a few more other elements in. But yeah, I do agree from the standard system settings that it's quite crazy. Final one, any books that you've recently read, recommend, or you've been told to read that you haven't read yet?
I don't read a lot of business books, actually. Probably should, but I do read my fair share of novels. So I read one that I thought was super interesting last year called Hail Mary, which is about a mission to sort of save humanity. So they send a spaceship out into space, like they're in deep frozen. He wakes up, and after a while, you know, he encounters an alien, and they find a really beautiful friendship. But I thought it was really cool book. So Hail Mary, if you're into sci-fi, you'll love it.
There we are. We'll give it a try. Thank you very much. This has been great, Anton. Thank you. Was there anything else you wanted to say before we close?
No, I'm just thankful that you brought me on, Bruce. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. But nothing else to add.
Brilliant. So that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Evolve Pipedrive podcast. We talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and Pipedrive Marketplace in order to help you grow your business. At Evolve, we're a technology consultancy based in the UK, working globally, specializing in helping scaling businesses do more with Pipedrive and the wider tech stack through implementation, consultancy, and training. If you found this insightful, please do let us know what you think. We listen to all your comments, emails, and or on the socials, and share with anyone else that you find valuable. Anton will have links in the description below to find Guava on the marketplace, and for the books that he's recommending as well.
Great.
Cheers, man.
Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye. Bye.